So I'm here with my friend Olga, and we are going to do episode 3 of Kink Talk. I know some of you have asked for more episodes, and Bird is very hard to get a hold of, so I might bring on different guests from time to time. So meet my friend Olga. Hi, Olga.
Hi.
So we've sort of had a little pre-conversation about what we wanted to talk about, so I guess we'll just launch right into it. Tell me what you were telling me earlier about, we were talking about size, and I know this is a big topic for men and, there are pros and cons, I think, to every size, obviously. So there's not one that's like the end all be all, but I want you to tell me what you were telling me about someone you dated.
The Turkish Stallion.
The Turkish Stallion. Please, Olga, tell me more.
Well, he was a very lovely gentleman, but I had a very lovely time with him, but his penis was too big.
Okay. Tell me more.
Well, when I saw his penis and touched it for the first time, I thought, oh my God, it looks like a paper towel roll with a paper towel still on it. And or a 2-liter Coke bottle size.
Oh my God. Did you actually like go through with it?
No, I couldn't.
You couldn't?
Okay. I could not.
I dated someone one time that was really big and we were like fooling around. And in the middle of it, he said, I don't think this is going to work. I think I'm too big for you. And I said, I think you are too.
Yeah.
There is such a thing as too big, guys. So if you were like smaller on the small end, average, below average, this is a big con. If someone's too big, they can't find someone to have sex with.
I feel like if you're on the smaller size that you can make up for it in other ways.
Oh, totally.
However, if you are really legitimately that hefty, that can be a little bit of a deterrent.
It reminds me of that episode of Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Samantha she meets this guy and she's so excited because he's so hung and then she realizes that she can't handle it. And she's like, yes. Can we just be friends?
Yes.
And she doesn't have guy friends.
Exactly.
I think that there's like an aesthetic appeal to different sizes, but in actuality, bigger is not always better.
No.
No. I've definitely slept with like an array of different sizes throughout my sexual years.
Yeah.
And, I can't say that like no one, like a certain one could not satisfy me, but yeah, too big. It's definitely, you got to work up to that to start, but imagine like how much foreplay would you need to sleep with somebody who's that
at that thick? Point, just give me a hand.
Yeah. I have a friend who talks about how she prefers, I guess, average to like smaller than average size because she says she gets TMJ. She loves giving blowjobs she gets TMJ. And she's like, I can't give a blowjob if his dick's too big because I can't open my mouth that wide.
Right.
There's another thing. So again, guys, size is not everything.
That's not.
So be happy with what you have. If you have a giant one, make it work, man. Make it work. Maybe you find someone who's like the perfect fit for you.
Or just work really hard in foreplay
first
before foreplay they have a chance to dry out and say, no thanks, that's never going to happen.
Foreplay is insanely important, I think. Like, in general, if you can, okay, if you're a good kisser.
Oh, man.
The best sex I ever had, this guy was, like, the best kisser I ever. We're drinking red wine, by the way, and we're in Olga's backyard and it is lovely. We're barefoot on this blanket together. It's idyllic, actually. I'm swatting away bugs, but we're drinking some red wine and she cooked me dinner. Like lady date. And I don't know. He had like a panty wedding kiss. It was like, he was such a good kisser that I could feel myself getting wet.
Yeah.
And I love making out.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love making out. And I still remember that. He was the one I dated. And I know I've talked about this if you guys are following along, but he's the one I dated after that really long relationship of mine with that asshole who like never went down on me. And his kiss was so good. I'm like, okay, I'm basically yours. I'll do whatever the fuck you want. And we spent like 2 days together and he made me come like 6 times in one night.
Oh, God.
It was so good. All he wanted to do was make me come. I'm like, yes, I will take it.
Yeah.
I'm greedy like that.
That's not greedy.
No.
No. That makes them feel good.
It did. Actually, yeah. I guess it's mutually satisfying because he feels like the stud that he was.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Exactly. Forever ingrained in my brain.
Oh, man.
I was like, I kept stopping him. You're a really good kisser. And he would like giggle or laugh. I'm like, no, really, though. You don't understand how good of a kisser you are. Because you fucking mean it.
I feel like women are way better kissers than men.
Do you?
In general.
Okay. So let's talk about that. In your experience.
Yeah, well.
Why do you think that is? I haven't kissed as many women as you have. I have not. I've only kissed, I can't remember, one or two.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because women don't usually come on to me. They just, like, think that I'm too straight. Like, not really, but it's usually someone else who's made the move on
me.
Oh,
man. I feel like you really need to do more lady kissing.
Oh, boy. Okay, yep. I'm going to add that to my list of wants.
Yeah, you need to add that.
That's... No, I do. I need to. It was my roommate. Do you remember?
Yes.
Okay, I had to be quiet so she could. She, like, we had a very interesting couple of, like, almost things that happened. But, and she was hot. Shit. On New Year's Eve one night, she just decided to grab me and shove her tongue down my throat. And then a friend of ours took a photo of it. And it exists out there in the wild somewhere. There was another night where we'd been out drinking one night. And there was a dude that I was really into. And he was in my room. And she was in my room. And it should have led to a threesome, but it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got married, she's like, yeah, I guess it's kind of weird. There are all these women I slept with at my wedding. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to figure out who they were. During the ceremony. No. Another friend and I were joking that it were the ones who showed up late to her wedding. And wow. I feel like I talked about this with Bird, my other friend, mm-hmm. who I did this podcast with. But anyway, continue on about how women are better kissers, because I want to know everything.
Well, what you said, like, if there's a really good kiss happening and it can be a panty wedding kiss,
yeah.
That's much more likely to happen, I feel, in my experience with women than men, because that's important to a woman.
Right. Well,
to another woman.
Well, foreplay. Maybe, I wonder if it's this innate understanding how important foreplay is, and I'm not saying men don't get that, but in general, mm-hmm. I'm just generalizing, so please don't crucify me for this, but I think that women understand that because men are hard and they're ready to go. And women have to, biologically, we have to open up. We have to, lubricate, to get really scientific. Your vaginal wall actually has to, like, extend up inside you so you can make room for something up there. So that's why foreplay is so important. And if anyone's listening, you don't know this, like, this is what it's all about. You have to get the woman aroused and excited so you can fuck her, basically.
And that doesn't mean, it means different things to different people.
Of course.
It doesn't mean, like, kissing for hours.
No.
It has nothing to do with
that. Which I have done, though, and it's great.
Yeah, it can be great. I do believe that it definitely can be great. However, if you're a really amazing kisser, like I said, it seems more luxurious with a woman. That's the word I would use.
Well, their lips are softer.
The
features are softer.
Yes.
It's very sensual.
They're more willing to put their hands on your neck and in your hair.
They know, well, I think that that's because women know what you like.
Exactly.
I have this thing where I like it's like the thumb and my neck. It's like the jawline.
Yeah.
Like this. We're doing it to each other. Yes, we're both doing it. Okay, so we both just extended our hands and touched each other in the face exactly the same way. And that's how I like to be kissed. That will just make me moan into your mouth, basically.
Yeah.
So.
Much less if you have it with both hands.
Oh, well,
the back of your neck.
Oh, well, I'm just fucking yours. You can see,
exactly.
Oh, shit. I had a question to ask you, and I can't remember. Oh, have you ever... So, I do... You know, I do audio porn.
Yes.
Obviously, we had this discussion, and you're a friend of mine who knows, and I would not be talking to you about all of this, of having a podcast, if you did not know. But I was going to ask, there's a big tag that is not really well represented, and it's outer course, so where you're not penetrated. Have you ever?
No, that's so hot.
Have you ever had a fantastic experience with non-penetrative sex that you feel is just as good or not or better than? Okay, let's talk about that.
Definitely. That was my first really hot experience, like physical experience with a member of the opposite sex, as well as my first experience where I felt really turned on by a member of the same sex, but much earlier. So one happened when I was experimenting when I was like a kid with another female.
Okay.
And the other happened with, like, I would guess what would one would consider, you know, puppy love in high school.
Right.
Before I ever had sex. And it was one of the hottest things ever.
I feel like up there for me are, and this isn't even, like, so sexy. It was a little sexy, but, well, not a little, but I'm selling it short. But my longest makeout session ever lasted 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Off and on, where we did not have sex. I just didn't want to yet. Mm-hmm. And it was basically like, what can we do? How far are we going to push this limit? So it just like led to this like lust for each other that just built and built and built and built. So when we finally did have sex, however many dates later, oh my God, it like shook my world.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know, when you're having sex with just a piece of cloth between you, that's like super sexy because you're holding something back and you're experiencing.
I think that dry humping is underrated.
Totally underrated.
Totally underrated. Groping and dry humping.
Yep.
And pretending like, I mean, because it leads to anticipation and it builds this whole thing.
Right.
Have you ever had a hands-free orgasm? Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever had one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have too. It's like this whole holy grail thing that people try to have. What was your experience with that? Was it on your own? Was it with someone else?
No, it was on my own.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Okay, so you want to talk about it?
Well, it wasn't really that exciting.
What were you doing that like led to it?
Riding a horse.
Riding a horse. Okay. You hear of a lot of women like having their first orgasm riding a horse or doing something like that.
It wasn't my first one.
Well, I'm not saying first, but
yeah,
for some, mm-hmm. where they realize how sexual they are, there's like some sort of straddling going on, and that's it's a very literal interpretation of that. Okay.
Which is really interesting because it circles back to the teenager that I dry humped with ferociously before I lost my virginity because I wanted to lose my virginity to him, but his dad was a Baptist preacher and he wouldn't do it. So we would just fuck with our underwear on.
Yeah.
Which was like super hot. And he was a thespian and a guitarist, and he was competing in the state play for a play called Equus.
And the Equus, that's the one that Daniel Radcliffe was in.
Okay.
The naked one?
Yes. So the scene that he chose to interpret for his competition in high school was the scene of getting off on a horse.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
As a soliloquy. And my mother and I was 16 and he was 18, went to watch it. I had no idea what I was, you know.
And your mom went with you.
My mother went with me.
Oh my God.
And it was really awkward. But he did a really amazing job. I think he ended up getting like third place or something. But then years later, after college, I worked on a horse farm and totally got off one day galloping on a horse.
I feel like this full circles back to your Turkish stallion, but we
won't. Yeah. Like a whole connection.
That's so funny. I did theater in high school and college, and I was in the vagina monologues, and my dad wouldn't come see it because I had to give a speech, obviously, about my vagina. And I think the one that I had was the woman who had to have the British accent talking about how she found her clit for the first time by looking in a hand mirror. And she's God. She'd never looked at herself in the mirror before.
Yeah.
I guess women also have this sort of stigma of, like, what their parts look like.
Right.
And I hate that for us because
Another reason why you should have sex with women, other women.
So you can experience all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the closest I've ever gotten to looking, to examining. I've looked at other women way more closely than I've looked at my own.
I'm the opposite. I'm just like, what the fuck's going on down here? Let me go see what's going on. Okay, this is how I look like when I'm excited.
Really? I'm not interested in that in myself.
I think that it's just...
as much as I am others.
I'm not saying that I'm interested in myself necessarily. It's just that as a kid, I think I just...
Yeah, see, when I was a kid, I looked at other girls.
I was very experimental as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking played doctor with everyone.
Yeah, me too.
I had, like, girlfriends, and we, like, do shit to each other, and...
Oh, it's not... Yeah. I dry-humped girlfriends all the time when I was growing up, in elementary school and middle school. A lot. That was a big thing.
I was telling you earlier about kind of, like, a bondage fetish, and I feel like that developed really early. I had a friend who was a girl, and she would, like, tie me up on her bed, fully clothed, but it aroused me in a very strange way, and I couldn't have been more than 8 or 9.
Did she, like, touch you and kiss you?
No.
She just tied you up.
But I don't really remember more than that. I just remember being tied up and feeling very turned on. But I was, like, 9 or 10, which is really weird to feel sexually aroused at that age.
I don't think that's weird.
No?
No.
I don't even know what level it starts at, because that's prepubescent.
Right.
And then... when I had Barbies, dolls, I would tie them up. I would tie up my dolls.
Interesting.
Did you never do that?
No, but I made them fuck.
Oh, everybody made their Barbies fuck.
Yeah, but no, I didn't tie up my Barbies.
I tied up my Barbies. Mm-mm. I obviously have, like, a bondage fetish.
Yeah.
I would tie up my dolls. Like, one would be the captor of the other and would tie them up. And my parents would come in my room and see it and go, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I'm like, nothing. She's just naked and tied up to this... the leg of my nightstand. Nothing's going on. They were worried about me. I was also, like, humping, like, my bed frame. I had, like, an iron, wrought iron bed frame.
Uh-huh.
It was, like, basically just, like a long post, and I could get on top of it, mm-hmm. and I didn't understand what I was doing. I was, like, rubbing myself against it.
Yeah.
My parents were concerned.
My parents took me to the doctor when I was
really?
A toddler.
Really?
To ask... you know, if there's something wrong with me because I was masturbating all the time.
Really?
Not, like, in public, but they
okay, so I taught preschool, and I had a 3-year-old, and on his file it said he touches himself during nap time. He doesn't understand, but he would get, like, early erections.
Yeah, that's normal.
It is normal. Kids don't understand it, though.
Right.
And you're told that it's wrong, and it's shameful, and all this bullshit that fucks you up, basically.
I don't think it's shameful at all.
Of course it's not shameful. It's your body.
Especially experimenting with other children if they are also, you know, willing and are interested and want to experiment, that's natural and normal. And, like, my first, I mean, this is really explicit, but when I was in, like, 9 or 10 years, I wasn't 10. I was either 8 or 9, but I know this because I moved around and, like, I can categorize years based on where I was living.
Uh-huh.
So I know it was before I was 10, and I had this girl that I was friends with, but really our friendship was based on, like, our experimentation with each other.
I had one like that, too.
And outside of that, there wasn't much going on, and I wasn't attracted to her at all, like... I didn't even really like her. Like, she was in beauty pageants. She was
really
a snob. She was really obnoxious. But, like, we would... something about our connection, she knew that I wanted to experiment, and I knew that she did, so we would do it together. And we would get, like, in our underwear. And, like, I remember locking ourselves in her room while her mom made dinner, getting in our underwear and getting in her bed and licking each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I never...
all over.
I never did that, but
that's
I've never...
oriented.
I've never told anyone this before, and I'm telling you and everybody listening, but I had a friend, and we would touch each other.
Yeah.
I knew that when I went over to her house for a sleepover, I would, like, bring certain things, and, like, we would, like, touch each other with these certain things, like, this is sharp. How does this feel on you? How does this feel on you?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I remember, like, feeling this was this horrible secret and that I was doing something wrong for so long.
Me too.
Which is weird because when you think about your sexuality as a kid, you're playing, you're doing doctor, and you want to see people naked. And I was really curious about what boys looked like.
Me too.
Back then, because you only know what you look like and you know they're different. But I feel like I experimented more with girls too when I was a kid. Yeah.
Well, I felt the girls were safe. Like, if they were interested in it and I was interested in it, it felt safe to me and, like, comfortable. And
I don't even remember how this started, but obviously, like, I have some sort of, like, inclination towards females that I've had since I was a child. And I even feel like I made my Barbies, like, the female Barbies do shit to each other, because I had, like, two male Barbies and they were, like, the whores, basically, of the man whores of the whole Barbie clan. So many Barbies.
Interesting.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
And I would, like, line them all up. There was, like, the one evil one. She was basically the dominatrix.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? But I had no idea what the hell I was doing back then. But it's it's like I understood this as a child, this whole
innate
sexual nature of who's dominating who's tying up who. But who pretends like they don't like it, but they really like it.
Yeah.
It's like weird sexual role play with dolls as a child. I've, like, this is funny. I've, like, never had a conversation about
this
before.
That's really interesting.
I'm sure other people did this, too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where my whole, like, rope tying fetish kind of comes into play. I found this piece of art, and I'm going to hang it in my room. And I know the handyman will see it. But it's basically, like, a Japanese shibari painting that I want to hang on the way to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, like, what he'll think. I'm pretty sure the handyman's found all my sex toys. Like, you know the nightstand's off limits.
Yeah.
The Hitachi is hidden under my bed.
Nice.
Do you have a Hitachi?
No, but I want one.
You need a Hitachi. Please get a Hitachi. If you need, like, a quick fap that, like, we will get off in 2 minutes flat, that is the way to go.
I need one.
I've had that thing for, like, 10 years. It's running strong.
Damn. My friend that was my partner in my yoga training, she was like, oh my god, I'm gonna get you one if you don't have one already.
I will too. I'll give me her name, we'll chip in and get you, like, a goody drawer or something. You need all the sex toys.
I do.
Next on my list is, like, an anal toy.
Nice. Yes,
that's next on my list. I sort of have one, but it's, like, a makeshift one, and I need a real one anyway. We were talking about sex toys earlier.
Yeah, I need a real one.
I need a real one, but I have, like, you need a realistic dildo that's not the size of a paper towel roll.
No, Jesus Christ, no.
A glass dildo.
A glass dildo?
Yes. Just trust me. Have you ever heard of a glass dildo?
No.
So it's like borosilicate, I think that's what it's called, glass, and it's like food safe, and it's, like, pretty much unbreakable. You can warm it up or get it cold. So you can put it in the freezer and use it if you want to try temperature play. Or you can warm it up in water, not boil it, obviously, but, like, under warm water. It's really slick, and there's a certain weight to it.
Oh, Jesus.
And I get off more with that thing than, like, anything else. Get one with the G-spot curve to it. You'll thank me.
Okay.
Mine also has a slot. You can put it in a harness and use it on somebody. Which I've never done.
That's incredible.
On another woman, on a man. So many possibilities. Mm-hmm. Well, do you need to get going?
Yes.
Okay. So Olga has to run, but we will have a part two eventually because we talked about doing another one. Sorry to bail on you guys. This has been really interesting because we've also never talked about this. We've talked about sex and shit before, but we've never, like, delved into kinks and childhood and experimentation. And every time I do this, I feel like I learn a lot more about my friends, which is kind of awesome because women do talk about this stuff, but never this in depth. At least I don't with my friends. So.
That's true.
Okay. So we're going to do this again.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Okay. Thanks for listening, you guys. Thanks. And we'll see you next time. Bye.